Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by Robert Shlomo Bahari. Be'ilu Nishmat Yosef Ben Shlomo Bahari. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Be'ilu Nishmat Chacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichen Began Eden. Amen. We are starting from the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Mi Shehayulo Shene Tinokot. Mohel, he had in front of him two children, two babies. Ehad lamul ahar shabbat. One, the milah was supposed to be on Sunday. Ve'ehad lamul be'shabbat. And the other, the milah was supposed to be on Shabbat itself. Ve'shachach, he made a mistake. Umal etshel ahar shabbat be'shabbat. And he did the circumcision on the Sunday baby, he did it on Shabbat, which really means he did it on the seventh day. And therefore, he did over here, not a brit milah, but in truth he did it haburah. Because if it's a seven-day milah, it's not considered a circumcision. If anything, he just made a wound on a child on Shabbat, albeit it wasn't intentional. So the Mishnah says, hayav. What do you mean hayav? Hayav hatat. Because he did this over here, bishogig, it wasn't intentional, and therefore, again, he knew it was Shabbat, he just didn't know that, you know, this was, he got mixed up with the babies. So therefore, this opinion says, hayav hatat. And the Gemara will analyze this case as well. Ehad lamul be'ayreb Shabbat. Second case, you have two children. One is supposed to be circumcised on Friday, ve'had lamul b'Shabbat, and the other one is supposed to be circumcised on Shabbat, ve'shachach umal et shel erev Shabbat b'Shabbat. He circumcised the Friday baby on Shabbat, which means he did the eighth day child. He did it on the ninth day, so that would be considered milah shelo bizmana. Now we know that milah shelo bizmana is not doheh Shabbat. He made a mistake. He did the Friday baby on Shabbat. So here we have a mahloket tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer mehayev hatat. Rabbi Eliezer says in this case it's also considered shogeg, and you're going to be hayav hatat. The Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua says no. In this case, you're going to be patur. What's the difference? If you want, we could read Rashi on this Mishnah together. Let's read all the Rashis in the Mishnah. V'shachach umal et shel achar Shabbat b'Shabbat chayav. That's the first case. You circumcise the Sunday baby on Shabbat. D'tara b'dvar mitzvah. Here your mistake was in doing a mitzvah. V'lo hasa mitzvah. But you didn't end up doing a mitzvah. Because when you circumcise a seven-day baby on Shabbat, there is no mitzvah. Ve'aval lechabura shelo letzorich. You made a chabura, you made a wound in the child. Ube'ah, afilu Rabbi Yeshua modeh. Which is even Rabbi Yeshua that says patur in the second case. In this case, Ove will agree you're going to be hayav chatat. Now that she tells us the second case. Ehad amul b'shabbat ve'had amul b'ayrib shabbat v'shachach. Umal shel ayrib shabbat v'shabbat. Rabbi Yeshua mechayev chatat. What's the logic? Demilah shelo bizmana in adochei Shabbat. Again, this is a nine-day baby now that you're doing on Shabbat. We know that a milah out of its time is not adochei Shabbat. Ve'afagat etavet bar mitzvah. Even though his mistake was in doing a mitzvah, shayat tarud be'oto shel Shabbat. Which means, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, both babies were in front of him. Which means he was really intending to do the right milah. He was supposed to do the Shabbat baby, and he was involved in it. But what? It's called ta'ab bidbar mitzvah. He was to'eh. His mistake was in doing a mitzvah. Right? Umitoch kach, and in his involvement with doing the right baby, ta'ab azeh. He made a mistake and did the wrong baby. Va'ab azeh asa mitzvah. And even on the wrong baby, it's still considered a mitzvah, because the milah does count. It shouldn't have been done on Shabbat, but bottom line, since it's past the eighth day, it does count. So this would be called in halakha, ta'a bidvar mitzvah ve'asa mitzvah. He was to'eh in the real mitzvah, in the 8th day. And instead of doing the 8th day, he did a 9th day. But the 9th day is also considered a mitzvah. So he says, Ela she'eno dochei Shabbat. Only problem is, the 9-day baby doesn't override Shabbat. Sfira le Rabbi Eliezer. So this is an important klal of Rabbi Eliezer. Ta'a bidvar mitzvah ve'asa mitzvah. Sheyesh ba hayuv chatat hayav. That's Rabbi Eliezer's klal. If you were involved in a mitzvah, and you made a mistake in that mitzvah and did another item that is a mitzvah, which means you did do the brit milah, it does count as a circumcision, but there's hayuv chatat because you can't do a milah shelo bezmana on Shabbat, so he says you're going to be hayav chatat. Rabbi Yeshua poter. What's Rabbi Yeshua's logic in this case? Ta'a bidvar mitzvah. Ve'asa mitzvah. Bottom line, you did a mitzvah, the milah counts. So you're going to be patur from chatat. In the first case, it's you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat. It's ta'a bidvar mitzvah ve'lo asa mitzvah. You didn't do a mitzvah. To do the 9-day, to do the 8-day baby on the 7th day, so that's not a mitzvah bichlal. So therefore, everybody will hold in that case hayav chatat. That's the way Rashi learns the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to give us a 3-way machloket how to learn these cases. We go one at a time. Rav Huna matni hayav. Rav Huna's version of the Mishnah was hayav, meaning he had the version of the Mishnah like we have it, that the first case where he did the Sunday baby on Shabbat, everybody says hayav chatat. And in the second case, where you did the Friday baby on Shabbat, every day there you have a mahloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Rav Huna Matni Chayav is actually our version of the Mishnah. However, Rav Yehuda Matni Patur. Rav Yehuda has a different text of our Mishnah. He actually has the Friday case first, meaning if you did the Friday baby on Shabbat, and in that case everybody says patur, and he learns the mahloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is in when you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat. And the Gemara will elaborate. So you have already two diverse readings of our Mishnah, how to learn the mahlok, and the Gemara will go through one by one. And we start. Rav Huna matni chayav. Rav Huna says what? That in the case where you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat, meaning you did it early, you made a mistake, everybody's going to say chayav chatat. How do we know? Netanya. Amar Rabbi Shimon el-Azhar, lo nechleku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yehoshua, al mi shayu lo bet yinokot, echad lamud b'shabbat v'echad lamud achar shabbat. There is no argument in the case where there were two babies, one to circumcise on Shabbat and one to circumcise on Sunday. V'shachach, and the Moel forgot, umal et shel achar shabbat b'shabbat, and he circumcised the Sunday baby on Shabbat, shu hayav. Everybody holds in that case, yachayav, because this is a case of tara bidvar mitzvah velo asa mitzvah. There everybody says it's qualified to a korban chatat. Al ma nechleku? So what was the machloket? Tanaim Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, al mi shayu lo shtei tinokot. The guy had two children in front of him. Echad lamud be'erev Shabbat. One was supposed to be circumcised on Friday. Ve'echad lamud be'Shabbat ve'shachach. Umal et shele'erev Shabbat be'Shabbat. Right? He circumcised the Friday baby on Shabbat, which means he did it on the 9th day. Here you have a machloket Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat, v'Rabbi Yehoshua poter. Exactly like our Mishnah. Now what's the sources? Ushneim lo lamdua ela ma'avodat kochavim. The source for both rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer saying chayev chatat, Rabbi Yehoshua saying patur, they both share the same source. It's from Avodah Zarah. Now why would Avodah Zarah be a source for this case? Because if you remember, the source of Korban Hatat, somebody does something b'shogeg, is written by Avodah Zarah. And by Avodah Zarah, the Torah then says, Torah Hatiye, which means, whatever the rules of Avodah Zarah is when you do it b'shogeg, the general rules that apply to all the mitzvot in the Torah, lo ta'aseh, if a person transgresses them b'shogeg, he's going to be Hayab Hatat. So therefore, it's proper to learn the laws of Korban Hatat, comparing it to the paradigm, the cases, Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara makes the connections now. The Bilya Ezer Savad, Kavodat Kochavim. All the sugar eggs, they follow Avodah Zarah. Ma Avodat Kochavim Amar Rahmana, Lo Ta'abid. The Torah said, do not worship Avodah Zarah, meaning it's a Lo Ta'aseh. V'chi Avid Mechayev. And if you do it, Beshogeg, you're going to be Hayav Hatat. Hachaname, Lo Shena. So here too, it doesn't make a difference. Which means, the Torah tells you, you cannot do a 9-day circumcision on Shabbat. Finish. It's not the Shabbat. You did it unintentionally, so finish. Torah says don't do it. You did it unintentionally. Hayav Hatat. It follows the Avodah Zarah. The Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua comes and says, nah, Hatam de lav mitzvah. Hacham mitzvah. A little different. When the guy worships Avodah Zarah unintentionally, he's not doing a mitzvah. It's a full-fledged Averah. That's why you've been Korban Chatat. However, in this case, even though you shouldn't have done the 9-day baby on Shabbat, but bottom line, after you do it, it is a mitzvah. I mean, it does count as a Brit Milah. So it's not really analogous to the case of Avodah Zarah. Therefore, he says you'll be Patur. So that's the way Rav Huna understands the cases. It's exactly like our Mishnah. And the source is Avodah Zarah. Now we go to the next version. Rav Yehuda Matni Patur. His version is that everybody says Patur. In which case? In the Friday case. Meaning, if the child was supposed to be circumcised on Friday, right? And instead they circumcised them on Shabbat. Okay, so that is the case again where you're doing a 9-day milah on Shabbat. He says everybody is going to hold in this. There's no machloket. Everybody's going to say in that case, patur. And we read why. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir. Lo nihleku Rabbi Eliezer bi Yoshua al mishayud o bet tinokot. Echad lamul be'erev Shabbat. Echad lamul be'Shabbat v'shachach umalet shel erev Shabbat be'Shabbat shu patur. There's no argument. Why? Because bottom line, you're doing a mitzvah. And everybody agrees, even though you shouldn't have done it, it was bishogeg. Bottom line, a 9-day baby, if you circumcise it, it counts. Therefore, everybody's going to say, that's not similar to Avodah Zarah, because here, bottom line, you did a mitzvah, therefore you're going to be patur from hatat. So where's the mahlok to be li'ezer, to be Yeshua? The mahlok is going to be on the Sunday baby. Let's see. Al ma mihliku? Ali Shayudo Betinokot, Ehad Lamul Ahara Shabbat, Ehad Lamul Bishabbat. We had two babies. You had a baby that was a Sunday Milah baby, and a baby that was a Shabbat baby, right? Veshachach Omalit Shel Ahara Shabbat Bishabbat. You did the Sunday baby on Shabbat. Shrebi Liazim Mechayev Chatat, the Bilaz is going to say Hayav, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. What's the logic? Ushtehem no lamdua elam avodat kuchavim. Again, their sources are going to be from Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Liazim Savar, Kavodat kuchavim. Rabbi Ezra is going to say, "Why? It's like Avodah Zarah. Ma Avodat Kuchavim. Amar Rahmana lo ta'abid." Again, Torah says, "Don't do Avodah Zarah." V'chi Avid Mechayev. And if you do it, you're going to be Hayav. Hachaname lo shena. Here too, the same thing is going to be. Meaning, you're not supposed to do the Sunday Milah is now is the seventh day on Shabbat. It's clearly you're not supposed to do a 7-day Milah on Shabbat. You did it Bishogeg. So therefore you're going to be Hayav Hatat. But what's Rabbi Yoshua's logic? The Rabbi Yoshua, Hatam lo tarid mitzvah. Hacha tarid mitzvah. Different concept. You're right. You're not supposed to do the seventh child, 7-day baby on Shabbat. And as a matter of fact, even if you did it, it's not considered a mitzvah. Because it's only the seventh day. But you know what? Over here, you were preoccupied in doing a mitzvah. Because you have to remember, both babies are in front of the mohel. And over here, it's not a regular shogeg of Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, there's no mitzvah bichlal. Here, at least, you were intending to do the right baby. You were intending to do the Shabbat baby. What happened? Got mixed up. That's considered, you were tarud in the mitzvah. You just didn't end up doing a mitzvah. So he holds Rabbi Yoshua according to this version. Tarud bidvar mitzvah. Velo asa mitzvah. Patur. But it's not like Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, you're not tarud in a mitzvah bichlal. And therefore, it's not similar to the paradigm. So therefore, he'll hold even in that case, you're going to be patur. So that's the way Rav Yehuda understands our Mishnah. Now we go and have the third way of learning the Mishnah. Tana Rabbi Chaya. We have a braita from Rabbi Chaya. Omer Haya Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir used to say, Lo nechleku Rabbi Eliezer v'Yoshua al mi shayu lo betinokot. Echad lamul be'erev Shabbat, ve'echad lamul be'Shabbat, ve'shakach umal et shir erev Shabbat be'Shabbat, shi'u hayav. Everybody is going to say, according to Bimeir, that when you did the Friday baby, which is now you did it on Shabbat, which is you're doing a 9-day baby on Shabbat, everybody's going to say hayav, meaning even Rabbi Yehoshua is going to tell you when you do the 9-day baby on Shabbat, hayav. And that's right away a chidush. And we'll continue. Al ma nihliku. So where's the machloket? Al mi shayu lo betinokot. Echad damur achar Shabbat, echad damur b'Shabbat. The machloket is going to be on when you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat, meaning you did it on the seventh day. B'shacha omale shel achar Shabbat b'Shabbat, and you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat a day early. Shrebi li'ezer mechayev chatat, v'rebi Yoshua poter. Now this is very strange, because you're telling me, let's go analyze Rabbi Yoshua. You're telling me when you did the 9-day baby on Shabbat, where it's a, at least it's a mitzvah, there you're telling me what? Hayav hatat. And now you're coming to tell me when you did the 7-day on Shabbat, where it's not a mitzvah, there you're going to be patur. It's a little strange how you could reconcile over here Rabbi Yoshua. Again, according to the way the Bimeir set it up, when you did the Friday baby, which means the Friday babies, that's a 9-day baby now on Shabbat, so there he says, we have no machloket. There everybody holds hayav, even the Yoshua, even though it's a mitzvah. And where did the Yoshua say patur? Oh, where you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat, where you did a 7-day. So the Gemara right away is, Hashta Rabbi Yeshua, Sefa Delo Ka'avid Mitzvah. In the second case, where you did the Sunday baby on Shabbat, you did it early, where you didn't do a mitzvah, poter, and Rabbi Yeshua is a patur. Resha De Ka'avid Mitzvah Mechayev. Does it make sense to say that in the Resha, where you did a mitzvah, because by my mind, it's the 9th day, it counts. Then you're going to say what? He's going to be Hayav? What's the logic in Rabbi Yeshua? Amre deve Rabbi Yanai, resha kegon shekadam umal shel Shabbat be'ereb Shabbat. Which is the first case, we're changing the dynamic a little. Both babies were not in front of him. Which means the guy made over here a double mistake. He switched the babies. And what did he do? He took the Shabbat baby and he circumcised it already on Friday. Well, that baby already was out of the way. So when he came here on Shabbat, all he had was what? He had one baby in front of him. And therefore, delo nitna Shabbat lidachot. And therefore over here you cannot consider him to'eh bedvar mitzvah. There was no two babies. And therefore all he had over here was what? He had over here the baby of Friday in front of him, which means he had over here what? Nine. One baby, the 9-day baby in front of him. So in this case over here, he's a shogeg. You can't say he had a legitimate baby in front of him and he made a mistake with bar mitzvah and he did. Here, it's nothing. There's no bar mitzvah over here, which means he's full-fledged shogeg. And therefore he's going to be hayav. Oh, so why in this sefa? Where he did the milah on the day early, he did the Sunday baby on Shabbat. Patur, very good. Sefa nitna Shabbat lidachot. You know why the Shabbat can be overridden? Because you have a good baby in front of you. He had a Shabbat baby in front of him. So therefore, when you have a Shabbat baby in front of you, taha bidvar mitzvah, velo asa mitzvah, Rabbi Yoshua will say, patur. But the first case of it, you cannot even consider Tahab Bidvar Mitzvah, because there was nothing over here that was mandatory. And there, of course, you did it already. You made a double mistake. You did the Shabbat baby on Friday. So therefore, in the first case, of Emil says, Hayab. And the second case, Patur. Amale Rav Asher Rav Kahana. Rishaname. Even in the first case. True, you only have one baby in front of you. But Nitna Shabbat Lidahot. Which is bottom line, you can still consider him Tu'ebet Var Mitzvah. Because you can be circumcised 8 day children on Shabbat. So therefore, you could come along and say that, you know, he was Tu'ebet Var Mitzvah, since children of the world, maybe not in front of him, but children of the world can be circumcised on Shabbat. So therefore you can say he's Tu'ebet Var Mitzvah. Maybe he thought that, you know, this is, since it can be done, so he made a mistake with this child. And therefore you should say, according to Yeshua, he should also be Patur. Gemara says no. Lehai gavra miha lo yachiv. Hey, you're right, but for this guy, it wasn't brought to him. Meaning, by the way, this guy over here doesn't have two children in front of him. You don't give a sevara and just say, well, since Shabbat hypothetically can be overridden for an 8 day baby, that's not going to portend this guy. Because for this guy, bottom line, how many children do you have in front of him? One. And therefore, that's therefore not considered Tu'eh Bidvar Mizvah. So therefore, again, we have three ways of learning the Mahloket over here. We have Rav Huna, which is actually our version, where the Mahloket is in the Sunday case. In the Sunday case, it's the Divrei HaKol Hayav, and the Mahloket is on the Friday case. Rav Yehuda learns the opposite. On the Friday case, everybody will say Patur, because bottom line, you did a Milah, and the Mahloket is in the Sunday case. And according to Rabbi Meir, in Rabbi Meir, in the Sunday case, where you did it early, there we're talking about where you have two children in front of you, there you'll have a machloket. And the Friday case, we were talking about we only have one baby in front of you, and even Rabbi Yeshua will say hayav, because that's not considered tahab bidvar mitzvah. And we go to the next Mishnah. Katan nimo lishmona litishra ul asara ul hadasar ul yudbet lo pachot velo yoter. Now we give the scenarios of how many days after birth can a child be circumcised. The minimum amount of time. So some days, sometimes it's 8 days, sometimes it's 9 days, sometimes the minimum is 10, and sometimes 11, and even sometimes 12 is the minimum, is the first time you'd be able to circumcise the child. So Gemara asks, Mishnah asks, HaKetzad, give me the scenarios. Well, Kedarko Lishmona. A normal situation, child was born on a Tuesday, 8 days later, Tuesday, you do a Brit Milah. Nolad leben ha-shemashot, nimol le-tish'a. If he's born, let's say, Tuesday, at twilight, so now already it's safek if it's Tuesday, it's safek if it's Wednesday. So you can't do it on the 8th day, next Tuesday, because maybe the child was really born on Wednesday. So you have to push the Milah to Wednesday. So that would be a Milah of 9 days. Ben HaShemashot Shel Erev Shabbat Nimo La'asara. Now, if he's born on Ben HaShemashot twilight on Friday afternoon, so now you have a Sefek. Is it Friday? Is it Shabbat? Okay? Now, if you're going to tell me it's really a Friday, right? So now, if the kid was born on Friday, obviously you're not going to be able to do it on Shabbat, because Shabbat would be the 9th day. And the 9th day, obviously, Milah Shelo Bizmana, you can't do. Okay? Now, if it's Shabbat, then you cannot do it on Friday, because you're doing the Milah a day early. So you cannot do it, not on the 8th day, which is Friday, nor could you do it on the 9th day, which is Shabbat. You'll have to do it on Sunday, the Brit Milah, which is the 10th day. So that's the case where the earliest time you can do the Brit Milah is on the 10th day. Yom Tov le'achar Shabbat nimo le'achad asar. Let's say Yom Tov is on Sunday. The child was born Ben HaShemashot on Friday. So you don't do it on Friday, the eighth day. You don't do it on Shabbat, the ninth day. You can't do it on Sunday, which is the tenth day, because this could be a milah. It's a milah shelo bizmana. It's a milah not in the right time, which is not doche, yom tov. So the earliest you could do it is Monday, the day after, which is going to be the 11th day. Now, bet yamim shel Rosh Hashanah nimol l'shnem asar. Now, if the 2 days of the holiday is the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, so example, let's say in the olden days when the calendar Rosh Hashanah was able to fall out, let's say on a Sunday, so you have Sunday, Monday, Rosh Chodesh. The child was born a week before Friday, Ben Hashem Hashot. You can't do it on Friday, the 8th day. You can't do it on Shabbat, the 9th day. Sunday, Monday, 10 and 11 is Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's considered Yom Arichta, the Gemara, the rabbis explain. It's considered one day, like it's like one Yom Tov, and therefore you cannot do it not on the first day, not on the second day. So the earliest you'll be able to do the Milah is on the Tuesday, which would be the 12th, which is the longest minimum of doing a Brit Milah. Now the Mishnah gives a klal. Katana chole, en mohalin oto ad sheyeh brit. Hashem, if the child is sick, so you cannot circumcise him until he becomes healthy. And the Gemara will explain. Amar Shemuel, halsato chama, if his fever broke, which means the child was sick, and now he got better, meaning the fever broke, notnim lo kol shiva lehavroto. So you give him 7 days to recuperate, meaning you don't do the brit milah the moment the child's fever breaks. You wait an additional 7 days. The Gemara says, "Ibayelu mibayinan me'et le'et." Does it have to be 7 complete days from time to time? Meaning, let's say the child's fever broke at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you now you count 7 24-hour intervals? From 2 to 2, and then you have to wait, and then you only do the milah after the 7th day passes, meaning you have to wait exactly from time to time? Or do you say, no, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's already considered day one, and then you just count 6 more days? So the Gemara says, Tashema, come and listen to Tani Luda. Luda is the name of a Tamid Hakam. Yom Avra'ato ki Yom Hivalido. The day that the child gets better is no different than the day the child was born. My love, my yom ivalido lo ba'inan me'et le'et, af yom ibra'ato lo ba'inan me'et le'et. What did he mean when he said the day of getting better is like the day of birth? Well, just like the day of birth, you don't have to wait 7 24-hour intervals. You wait 7 days. On the 8th day, you do the brit milah. For example, the child was born 2 minutes before sunset, that's already considered day one. You don't have to wait 24 hours before you get day one. So say the same thing. The day of birth and the day of getting better is the same thing. You just have to wait 7 days, and then you do a brit milah. Gemara says, la. No, don't say that. Adif yom avra'ato miyom mivalido. I could say that the day of his healing is better than, is more strict than the day he's born. Yeah, the day he's born, you just go 7, you don't need from time to time. Which maybe I'll tell you, indeed, you do need 7 days. So the Gemara really leaves it, which means when he says, it's kiyom evalido, yeah, that it's 7 days. That's all he meant, Luda. He didn't mean to say it's exactly like yom evalido, just like the day of birth. You wait 7 days and you read milah. He was saying, yom avraha, kiyom evalido. But in truth, it's really even more strict than yom evalido. Yom evalido, the day he was born, you only need 7 days, not me'et le'et. But what? Yom avraato, you need 7 days from time to time, perfect intervals. And that's the way the Gemara concludes. And we go to the next Mishnah. Ve'elu hen tzitzin am'akibin et amila. We learned earlier that there are certain pieces of flesh that if the mohel does not cut them, those pieces of flesh are called tzitzin. Now, some of those tzitzin, if you don't cut them off, they're going to render the milah invalid. And therefore the mohel has to cut them off. So the Gemara Mishnah wants to know, what exactly are those pieces of flesh that can render the circumcision invalid? The Elohim tzitzin ha'akibin et ha'milah. Basar ha'hofeh et rov ha'atara. So we explained earlier, the atara would be considered the crown, or as they call it, the corona. Now, the basar, if there's flesh that is covering the majority of the atara, at this point we're assuming it's referring to the circumference of the atara. If the basar, if the flesh is covering the majority of it, so then already the circumcision is considered invalid until the mohel uncovers rov ha'atara. Now, in that state, ve'eno ochel betruma. If he's a kohen, he cannot eat terumah, because the pasuk says in the Torah that an arel cannot eat terumah. So therefore, he's invalid for eating. Mishnah continues. V'imaya ba'al basar. If let's say the person was ba'al basar, that means he has a lot of flesh, meaning he's fat. And the brit milah really was legitimate. It just it looks not good because the basar is covering the atara. But in truth, they cut enough. It just is a marita ayin issue over here. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, ve'im haya ba'al basar metakeno mepenei marita ayin. He should fix the brit milah just so there's no issues of marita ayin. If the person, let's say, is in a mikveh or something like that, nobody should suspect him that hafesh shalom he is not a circumcised. And the Mishnah concludes, mal velo para et hamilah ki'ilu lo mal. Mal velo para, meaning piri'ah is the, after the initial cut, so one, the mohel tears the membrane in order to uncover the atara. There's a piece of flesh there, he tears it and rips it to uncover the atara, to make sure that the corona is totally uncovered. So if a mohel just cuts flesh, but he doesn't do the second process of piri'ah, kilu lo mal, the circumcision is invalid. And that's one of the major differences between the milot of the Yehudim and the milot of, let's say, the Arabs, where Yehudim have two stages in the Brit Milah. They have Milah and Piri'ah, and the Arabs, they only do the Milah, but they don't do mitzvah of Piri'ah. Amar Rav Avina, Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Basar hofe et rov gova shel atara. So he teaches a chiddush. When we said earlier tzitzin ha'akibin et ha'milah, we learned that the tzitzin, the pieces of flesh, are covering the majority of the circumference of the corona of the atara. Now the rabbi is telling you, no, even more strict. Even in one spot, if the flesh is covering the majority of the height of the corona, which means the atara we're talking now is from the crown downward until the tip, if even at one spot there's flesh that covers the majority of that area, I mean the flesh, the little strip of flesh just goes up a little or down a little, however you want to look at it, so that already is considered tzitzin ha'makimin, even though the majority of the circumference is revealed, even if it's rov gova, if it's the majority of the length of one spot, also that milah would be considered invalid. Vimaya ba'al basar, Amar Shemuel, Katan, now we talk about a child, Hamisurbal bebasar, which means after you did the brit milah, again, the child doesn't look like he's circumcised because he's pudgy. So it says, ro'ino to, so how do you know if the milah is kasher or not? So it says, ro'ino to kol zman shemitkasher v'nir'e mahul eno tzarich lamul v'imnav tzarich lamul. They look at the eved. When the eved is erect, when the eved is hard, then if it's evident that the brit milah is done, then it's okay. Even though when the eved is not kasher, It doesn't look like he's circumcised. The way you judge if the milah was kasher or not is when it's ever high, if the milah, because when it's ever high, then everything is evident, it's clear. So therefore, because the stretches, so therefore the milah, you're able to see the cut. However, if when it's ever high, and still you don't see the milah, the problem, then of course they would have to make an adjustment. So that's the first statement. Let's read the statement again, because it's going to be another reading over here. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel's statement. Katan amisurbal bazar. And he has a lot of flesh. Ro'in oto kozman shemit kasheh. So long as the eved is kasheh, v'nir emahul, and it looks like it is circumcised, eno tzarich lamul, they're not circumcised anymore. V'im lav, tzarich lamul. B'matnitat talba nebraita, we have a little different reading. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, katan amesurbal bebasar. Again, a katan that has a lot of flesh, ro'in oto. We look, kozman shemit kasheh. So long as the eved is kasheh, ve'eno nir emahul, he said it the opposite way. When the eved is kasher and it doesn't look like it is circumcised, sarich lamulo. Then you have to circumcise. Ve'im la'av, eno sarich, if not, not. Then sarich lamulo. My benayu. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between the way Shmuel said it and the way the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said it? So the Gemara says, ika benayu nir'e ve'eno nir'e. If it's evident, but not so evident. Meaning, exactly, it's quasi. It's not. It's a question. I mean, it's not so clear. Meaning like this: Shmuel's statement was what? If the eved is kasher, right, and it's nid'eh, so then already you're okay. The Shbag's statement was what? If the eved is kasher, and it's eno nid'eh, so then already the milah is no good. So from the fact that each rabbi used a different lashon, the nafkamina is going to be in a case where it's not cut and dry, meaning it's not clear. It's nir'eh, fe'en nir'eh. Who's going to hold what? So Rashi tells us, ika benayu nir'eh ve'en nir'eh. We read Rashi together. Lishmuel nir'eh mahul hu de'en sarich lemulo. If it just looks like Ismael, you're okay. But if it's questionable, you're going to have to. Because his lashon was what? Im nir'eh mahul kasher. Implying what? Nir'eh velo nir'eh. No good. Because his words were what? Nir'eh. It's got to be clearly visible. Implying what? If it's questionable, no good. But go the other way. According to Rashbag, he said, Im lo nir'eh, it's pasul. Implying what? Nir'eh velo nir'eh kasher. So therefore, good enough. So therefore, from the way they said their statements, nir'eh velo nir'eh is going to be enough. Shmuel is going to be bahmir, because he says it has to be nir'eh, it has to be clear. Implying what? Nir'eh velo nir'eh, problem. Rashbag took the other way. He said, lo nir'eh is pasul. Implying what? That nir'eh velo nir'eh kasher. Comes the Gemara further and says, mal velo parat, tanu rabanan, hamal, person that's doing the circumcision, meaning, let's say, the mohel, omer, he makes a beracha, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'sivanu ala milah. Okay, that's the beracha that the circumciser, the mohel, makes before the brit. Following the rule, kol ha-mitzvot mevarech alehen over la'asiyatan. That, of course, all the mitzvot, we make a beracha before we perform the mitzvah. Circumcising is a mitzvah, so we make a beracha. Shekedeshanu, b'mesotav v'sivanu ala milah. Abi Aben Omer, the father of the son, says a beracha as well. Asher kedeshanu b'mesotav v'sivanu, lachniso b'brito shel Avraham Abinu. Right, which means he is entering his child in the covenant of Avraham Abinu. Now the Tosafot brings down two different minhagim, which beracha goes first. From our Gemara, it's mashma that the mohel makes the beracha ala milah first, and then the Abi Aben says, achniso b'rito shel Avraham Abinu. However, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Ba'alei Tosafot, had a different girsa, and he learns like our minhag. The minhag of the Sfaradim is that the Abi Aben first says, lachniso, meaning now he's entering into the covenant, meaning he's giving his son, let's say, over to do the Brit Milah, and then after he says that, the Mohel makes the Beracha ala Milah. Rabbeinu Tam goes with the Gersav al Gemara, and he holds the proper Minhag is the opposite. To make ala Milah first, meaning the Mohel, and then after that, the Abi Aben makes the Lachnisos. You have a little diverse opinions exactly in the Minhag of the order of the Berachot. Now, Ha'omdim Sham, all those that are standing there, after the Abi Aben says Lachniso, Omrim, you have to say, Keshem Shenichnas Laberit, or like the Hagahot Abach learns, Keshem Shenichnasto Laberit. Just like you entered him into the covenant of Brit Milah, kach tachnisehu. So you should have the zechut to enter him, la Torah, to learning Torah, la chuppah, to his wedding, ul ma'asim tovim, and to good deeds. So you see clearly that our Gemara is telling you that's an obligation that the people there should say this beracha themselves, keshem shechnasto. V'hamibarech omer, now after the Milah is over, they let the Mivarech, meaning, let's say, the most hashuv person there, or one of the important, let's say, people, makes the following beracha. Asher kedesh yedid mibeten, hot b'sh'ero sam, b'se'sav chatam be'od b'nit kodesh, al ken, b'schar zot el chai chelkenu, and some add the word tzurenu, tzaveh, and some read it siva, להציל ידידות שאירנו משחת למען בריתו אשר שם בבשרנו ברוך אתה השם קורא את הברית. Let's explain this ברכה. אשר קדש ידיד מבטן. We say, God, you sanctified the ידיד, the loved one, from the stomach, from the womb. Who is the loved one? And as she says, it's referring to Yitzhak Abinu. Yitzhak is called Yedid, the loved one, because when God told Abraham to do the Akedat Yitzhak, he said, Kahna et Pincha, et Yehidecha, Asher Ahavta. Yitzhak was loved, so therefore, by Abraham. So therefore, he's called Yedid. Now, we know that when Yitzhak already, his birth was predicted by a Malach. So God sanctified Yitzhak Abinu already from the womb. And God told Abraham that when the child is born, you're going to circumcise him. So we say, Asher Kedesh Yedid Mebetin. God, you sanctified Yitzhak, that is considered the Yedid already from the womb. Hot b'sh'ero sam. And you put a sign in his flesh. That's referring, b'sh'ero is the flesh. That's referring to the Brit Milah. Ve'se'esa'av hatam, and his descendants, meaning his children, you mark them be'ot berit kodesh, again with the sign of the milah, which is the children of Yitzhak's descendants. Al ken, therefore, bischar zot, in the reward for us fulfilling this mitzvah brit milah, el chai, the living God, helkenu, our portion, tsurenu, our rock, our protector, Tzaveh, we tell God. Tzaveh means make a commandment. Latzil yedidut she'erenu mishachat. Save the beloved of our flesh from shachat. Meaning save our people from Gehinnam. Because as she quotes a pasuk from Zechariah that says that those people that have a brit milah, the zechut of the dam milah, saves the Jewish people from going to Gehinnam. So we say, please God, tzaveh, make a commandment that what? To save the Jewish people that are still doing Brit Milah, that they should not have to go down to Shachat, to the place of Geinan. Lema'ad Brito, in the zechut of the Brit, asher sam bibsarenu, that he placed in our flesh, Baruch Ata Hashem, koret ha-Brit. Tosfot has a different understanding of this beracha. He learns Yedid Mibeten is referring to Avraham Abinu. And then he says, Vehok B'she'ero Sam is referring to Yitzhak. V'se'sav Chatam is Yaakov Abinu. So he learns all the Avot actually hinted in this beracha. Hamal et Agerim. somebody comes to circumcise a convert. Omer Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidushanu Mitzvah Sivanu Al Amila. Okay, so the Moher makes the regular Beraka Al Amila. V'Hamevarech Omer. Now, obviously, it's not a Biyabin over here. The fellow is a, let's say, a convert. So, in case we don't have a Biyabin, so the Mevarech, the one that makes the blessing, says Asher Kidushanu Mitzvah Sivanu Lamul Et Hagerim. Right. So he makes the Beraka Lamul Et Hagerim. And to circumcise the converts, ulhatif mehem dam berit, and to make a hatafat dam berit is to draw some blood from them, because sometimes the gerim, they're circumcised already. For example, an Arab convert, he's circumcised already. So all you have to do is just draw some blood. This is all part of the beracha. She'il male dam berit, because it was not for the blood of the circumcision, lo nitkaymu shamayim ba'aretz. The world, heavens and the earth would not be in existence. Shene'emar, as it says, Im lo b'niti yuman v'alad, if it was not for the covenant of day and night, meaning the b'rit milah, hokot shamayim v'aretz osamti, the laws of the heavens and the earth, God would not place. Baruch atah Hashem koret ha'berit. So that's a special berakah that's made at the circumcision of converts. Hamalat ha'abadim, the one that circumcises his abadim, meaning an Eved Kenani, omer, Hashem the servant of Sivanu, ala milah. Now we begin the 20th parak of Masechet Shabbat. And the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer taught, Tolin et hamshameret b'yom tov, v'notim l'tiluya b'shabbat. We're talking about a meshameret over here, which would be a, let's say, a form of sifting. Meaning, you have a meshameret, let's say it's a cloth. Okay? You want to take the cloth and put it over a barrel. And now you want to pour wine into it in order to collect the sediments, right? In order to clean out the wine. So the Bidya Ezer teaches us two laws. Number one, it is permissible to take this cloth and place it over the barrel on Yom Tov. Which should be the question. Even though you're now making an ohel. You are making a roof with now something under it. So the question would be, can you make a roof on Yom Tov? Obviously, the Bili Ezer is holding, since this is temporary, as the Gemara will explain, it is going to be mutar. However, on Shabbat, he does not allow you to place the cloth, the meshameret, over the barrel, but if it was placed already from before Shabbat, he allows you to pour wine into the cloth. So let's read that din again. You can suspend the meshameret, the cloth, on Yom Tov. You can actually set it up. And you could pour the wine into one that was suspended already on Shabbat. That's what Shabbat is more strict. They say you can't suspend the Meshameret. Not on Shabbat, and certainly not on Yom Tov, and certainly not on Shabbat. The only thing you could do on Yom Tov is, if it was set up already, you could use it. And that you can't even do on Shabbat. So therefore, Hachamim are more strict. And that's what I was going to analyze. Hashtag, now, the Bili Ezer, Osufe Ohel Arai, Lomosfinan. The Bili Ezer, as we learned in an earlier Mishnah, does not only say that you can't make an ohel on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Obviously you can't make an ohel. You're not allowed to make a roof on Shabbat or Yom Tov. But Rabbi Eliezer was very strict. He said not only can you not make an ohel, but you're not allowed to even add to an existing ohel. Where do we see that? So let's review a Mishnah that we learned early in the Masechet. We had a case of Pekak HaHalon, where you had a skylight, there was a hole in the skylight. You have a roof already. It's a hole there. So we had a whole discussion, can you take a board and actually plug up the hole? If you remember, Rabbi Eliezer was very strict. He said the only way that will allow you to plug up this hole, it's got to be tied, and it also has to be dangling. Then already will be considered already, it's attached already, and therefore you could plug it up. But anything less than that, you can't. Now, let's say the plank was on the floor. What exactly are you doing in that case? Are you constructing an ohel? No, the oil's really there, the roof is there. What you're doing is you're mosif al ohel. You're adding to an ohel, correct? So the Gemara is going to ask, if Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not even allowed to be mosif on an ohel, how can he tell me I can construct an ohel from scratch on Yom Tov? Here, when you're taking the mishamenetus cloth, there was nothing over the barrel. Now you take it from scratch and putting it on, you're constructing an ohel lekatahila. Eliezer, how can you say that? So the Gemara says, let's go again. Hashtar b'li'ezer osufe ohel haray lo mesfinan l'me'aybat. To add to a temporary oil, he doesn't allow. L'katayla shareh. Now you're going to tell me l'katayla is going to be permissible? So the Gemara says, Mayhi, where do you see the b'li'ezer shita? The Tah, we learned earlier. Pika kahalon. You have the plug of the window. Now she says we're talking about a skylight. It's an oil. The b'li'ezer omer, b'zman shekashur v'talui, when the piece of wood, the plank, had two things, was tied to the wall and it was dangling, pokekimbo. Then you could plug up the skylight. V'imlav, epokekimbo. The rabbis were lenient, they said regardless you can be pokek. And now Rabbi explained this Mishnah. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to make a temporary oil. Not on Yom Tov, and all the more so not on Shabbat. So what's the machlokin in this Mishnah pokekin? Lo nechleku ela lehosif. The machlokin in our Mishnah is what? To add to an existing oil. Should Rabbi Eliezer omer en mosifim bi Yom Tov, the instantik lovav le Shabbat? Rabbi Eliezer is strict. You can't add to an oil not on Yom Tov, and all the more so not on Shabbat. Lachem omer mosifim bi Shabbat, the instantik lovav le Yom Tov. Lachem, you say, no, you can't be mosif. Oh, so the question then again is, Rabbi Eliezer is strict that you can't even mosif on an oil on Shabbat. How does he allow you to put the mishamenet al katayl on Yom Tov? Kabbalah's answer, Rabbi Eliezer savala ki Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? The Tanya, we have a writer. And ben Yom Tov le Shabbat ila ochen nefesh bilvad. Right, the only difference in Shabbat and Yom Tov is what? Are you allowed to prepare food or not? Shabbat you can't cook. On Yom Tov, you can. That's basically the only difference, right? Mm. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda matir af makshireh ochel nefesh. Hey, douche. Rabbi Yehuda has a very big leniency. He holds, not only are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but you're also allowed to do preparations for cooking on Yom Tov. Meaning, not only could you take the meat and put it on the fire. That's, everybody says mutar. That's ochel nefesh. He says, you can make the oven. If you need to build the oven, that's preparation, mutar also. Or you need, let's say, to prepare the spits and all the different utensils that you need for cooking. Even though, let's say, that's not directly cooking. That's makshirin. Oh, so let's analyze. If Rabbi Yehuda says anything, not only cooking, but the preparations for cooking is mutar, we found now who this Rabbi Eliezer could be following. On Yom Tov, in order to prepare the wine, I need to get the sediments out. So by putting this oil, this mishamenet over the barrel, this would be considered a makshir for ochel nefesh. So if you hold like the Yehuda that says that the preparations for ochel nefesh is mutar, so I don't care if I'm making a tent. I'm building an oven, it's permissible. That's also boneh. But bottom line, if it's for makshir ochel nefesh, mutar. So therefore, you know what? Rabbi Eliezer, you're right, we'll say. Normally,
even on Yom Tov. Can I make a tent on Yom Tov? Stam? Of course not. Even Ohel Harai, you can't. The only reason why here it's permissible, because it's a preparation for food. Who says preparing for food is mutar on Yom Tov? Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, not so fast. Gemara says, four lines on the bottom. Imar de Shamainan and Rabbi Yehuda, b'machshirin she'efshal la'asotam me'ereb Yom Tov. B'machshirin she'efshal la'asotam me'ereb Yom Tov. Mishamit le? Rabbi Yehuda, you're right, was matir machshirim. What type of machshirim was he matir? Only type of preparations that you could not have done from before Yom Tov. But things that you could have done before Yom Tov, even Rabbi Yehuda says, is forbidden on Yom Tov. So let's go back. Making the oven, the Bili'ez would not allow you to do that. Do it from before Yom Tov. All the Bili'ez was lenient is if something happened on Yom Tov itself. For example, the spit that you were using to cook with, it got warped on Yom Tov. Now you have no choice. Then it'll allow you to fix it and to straighten it out. Even though that's only machshirin. But that's only because you couldn't do it before. Before the holiday was good. The problem occurred on Yom Tov itself. So we're back to the question now. If according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't allow any makshir, he only allows makshirim that you couldn't have done from before. So then how does Rabbi Eliezer be lenient of it? This mishamiret, you could have put it on from before Yom Tov. So how could Rabbi Eliezer be lenient? So the Gemara says, you know what? The Rabbi Eliezer adifa mid Rabbi Yehuda. Not only does he hold of Rabbi Yehuda, but he even holds more than Rabbi Yehuda. Not only does he hold that makshirim are mutar on Yom Tov, but he holds even makshirim that could have been done me'erev Yom Tov. So really that's the heter of Rabbi Eliezer. It's nothing to do with oil, since it's a makshir. And even if it was permitted, even if you were able to do it from before, he still allows you to do it on Yom Tov itself.